Hi there, welcome to our YouTube channel. And today I have a very interesting topic, and it's something people have been asking me questions about over the years, and I just felt to just do this video to, you know, just settle the issue. And it is the issue of divorce. It's the issue of divorce. Very interesting topic. Before I go on, hey, if you have not subscribed to this channel, please go ahead and do so right now. And we have some other affiliate channels that will be a blessing to you. There's LDM with PK. There is my wife's channel, Mildred Kingsley Okonkwo. There is also our sexuality channel. It's called Wholesome Sexuality, all right, where we bring you wholesome education as regards sexuality, whether you're married or single. So please subscribe to these channels. They'll be a blessing to you. And turn on notifications and all the other things you need to do. And engage with the posts. It helps. The way it goes around. So please make sure you engage, drop comments, and share with someone. All right, very, very important. And don't forget, you can always reach us. Our details are on the screen. You can reach our office if you need counseling or you need our materials and any other assistance we can give to you. All right, so let's get into it. Divorce, a very interesting topic. And what is God's view about divorce? Okay, so we're going to start by reading from Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. This is like the most popular scripture, or one of the most popular scriptures people quote about divorce, in Malachi 2:16. But I'm reading from the Message translation. It says, "I hate divorce, says the God of Israel. God of the angel army says, I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. He said, so watch yourselves, don't let your guard down, don't cheat." All right, very powerful. He said, "I hate divorce. I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage." He said, "So watch yourselves." All right. So clearly, God does not like divorce. I mean, that is simple. All right. God does not like divorce. But like we always say, this doesn't mean God does not like the divorcee. All right. We say God hates divorce, but He doesn't hate the divorcee. So you must never put anybody in a judgmental position, a position where you're judging somebody. That's not what this is about. This is about bringing you the knowledge of God's word so that you can make better decisions and fully understand God's mind. God hates divorce. God does not hate the divorcee. All right, now, why does God hate divorce? It was mentioned in that verse. He hates the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. Because marriage is a covenant. I know God is a covenant God. Everything God does is covenant. Marriage is a covenant, and the two people become one flesh. God says, "I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage." Once people have become one, dismembering them must be violent. It must be tough. If I take a piece of paper and I tear it apart, you will see that there can't be a smooth way of tearing that piece of paper apart. So, you know, there's no way I can smoothly tear a piece of paper. If I tear it, you will see that the edges will be jagged. It's gonna be a violent dismembering. And that's what God is saying, that look, once you break a marriage, once you break the covenant of marriage, the one flesh of marriage, it's going to be painful on both parties. It's going to be painful on the children. It's going to be painful. It has impact. That's what God is saying. The reason why God hates sin is not for the sin's sake. God hates sin because of the impact it has on people. So that's the same thing about divorce. God hates divorce, not just because He hates divorce for divorce's sake. God hates divorce because of the impact it's going to have. You are breaking a major covenant here. All right, both of you have made vows to each other. And now, I'm not trying to be judgmental at all. I don't know whatever has caused divorce in anybody's life. I'm just trying to say, I'm bringing you how God sees it. That you're breaking the covenant of marriage is a violent dismembering. There's no easy way, all right, to break a marriage. And I don't think anybody in their right mind enters marriage with the hope of divorcing. No, nobody does that. So people enter with the hope of it working. They think it's the love of my life. And something goes wrong along the line and causes divorce. So God does not like divorce. God does not like divorce at all. All right, He hates divorce. Yes, that's true. He doesn't hate the divorcee. And it doesn't mean that divorce can never happen. It's just that God does not like it. In fact, I don't think there's anybody like, I don't even like divorce. I'm sure you don't like divorce. I don't think anybody who want their child here to be divorced. You have a child, say, my wish for you as you're getting married today is that in 6 months or in 6 years, you'll be divorced. I don't think anybody. So you hate divorce. I hate divorce. God hates divorce. That's not a big deal. We all hate divorce. That's how it ought to be. Because marriage is such a sacred covenant. Two people come together becoming one. It was never designed to be broken. That's the truth. It was never designed to be broken because the damage, the impact that comes from divorce can be so bad. Okay? So this just explains it. God hates divorce. Now, does this mean does it mean a Christian can never divorce? Does this mean a person can never divorce? That's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible tells us clearly that there are cases and instances where people can or even should divorce. So I don't even know why it's a controversial issue. For me, it's pretty straightforward. Marriage is meant to be for life, but things happen. God hates divorce, but things happen that causes divorce. Okay, so another major bone of contention is that, Jesus said if you divorce, you can never remarry. Well, Jesus never said that. So we're going to go back again and look at the scriptures, all right, and tackle it. So there are two major places that Jesus spoke about divorce, two major teaching times that Jesus spoke about divorce. Now, if you see any other one, it's just maybe a repetition, you know, another version of the same story. Okay, so there are two major instances. So there was one time he was teaching on the mount, and he mentioned divorce. Let's look at that briefly, then we'll move to the other instance. So the first instance, you see it in Matthew chapter 5, from verse 31 to verse 32. So Jesus was teaching, Jesus was doing on the mount. Now, if you look at the concept of the teaching, he was correcting them, was a corrective teaching. So he kept saying things like, at that point, he kept saying things like, you have heard that until you commit adultery, that's when you have sinned. But now if you look at a woman lustfully, it's adultery. He was doing a lot of corrective teaching. So this is what he now said in Matthew 5, 31 and 32. He said, it had been said, whosoever shall put away his wife. Now please, it's important when you're studying the Bible to pay attention to details. The Bible is always into the details. He said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let me give her a writing of divorcement. So listen carefully. Whosoever shall put away his wife, this is verse 31, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Those are two different things. You will see this as we go on. There is the putting away and there is a writing of divorcement. The putting away is separation. So if a couple has an issue, the first stage usually is separation. Nobody divorces in one day. If you know anything about divorce, you can't say, I have an issue with my wife today, and lawyer comes today, judge comes today, everybody comes today, and we write divorcement. It doesn't happen that way. Usually, we first separate. Now, sometimes when people separate, they might be able to reconcile and come back. And some other time from the separation, they now properly do a legal process or traditional process or any process necessary to divorce. So there's a point where there is final divorce, and there's a point where there's separation. So the Bible is very clear about these two things. But what has happened over the years is that people generally, interchange the uses. So this is where people came about the doctrine or the idea that Jesus said you cannot remarry if you are divorced. So that's what happened. It's not so at all. Please follow the details. I hope this is making sense to you, but please follow the details. So let's read 31 again. It had been said that whosoever shall put away his wife, that's one step. Let him give her a writing of divorcement. That's second step. Two different steps. One is separation. Putting away separation. Writing of divorcement is the proper divorce. So if you look at now verse 32, it says, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, commit adultery. So see what they're saying. They're saying, verse 32, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. Now, fornication includes any sexual uncleanness. In the Bible days, that fornication means any sexual uncleanness, any sexual immorality. So what they are saying is that when they started divorce, one of the conditions they gave for divorce is if there is sexual immorality, you are free to put away your wife, separation, and now later divorce. It's one of the conditions. So that's what Jesus was reiterating here. He says, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for fornication, is causing that woman to get separated and go and, or have something else. Because she's not divorced, she's just separated. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. This is important. That whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for, the only reason you can put away your wife is for fornication. And putting away, remember, is not divorced at that time. It's just putting away. He said, without that, you are just setting that woman up for failure. Now, the reason why he was addressing this was that at this time, people were divorcing for any reason. Please, you need to understand the context. People were divorcing for any reason. So people, because they had started divorce, and just like human nature, anything people start, even if they started with a good intention, human beings will stretch it. They will start using it you know, for the wrong use. They will stretch it. That's just human nature. So they have started divorce on the basis of sexual uncleanness, which is fornication or immorality. But people have started divorcing their wife for any reason. If their wife, there is too much salt in the food, you say, I'm divorcing you. If the you didn't dress well or whatever, you say, I'm separating from you, I put you away. So Jesus was saying, look, if you're going to be separated from your wife, it has to be because of this sexual immorality. Okay? If not, you're just pushing that woman out there to go and commit adultery. So do you get what he was saying? He wasn't saying that when there's proper divorce, you cannot remarry. He was just painting a picture. Okay? So this is the first place he talked about it. Now let's look at the second place that Jesus taught about divorce. Matthew chapter 19. Again, the Bible never contradicts itself. Anytime you see scriptures that look like the Bible is contradicting itself, it's not. It's just a matter of understanding. Scripture can never contradict itself, all right? The moment one verse contradicts another verse, the whole Bible itself is contradicted. That's how it works. The Bible never contradicts itself. It's just a matter of understanding, okay? So look at verse 19 again. And if you're interpreting scripture, you must always look at the text. You must look at the context, all right? You must look at who are they talking to? When was this conversation going on? At what point in time is this conversation going on? And who is being spoken to? Because all those things matter in the interpretation, all right, of that verse. Okay, so look at Matthew 19, second place we just talked about divorce. I'm reading from verse 1. It said, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea and beyond Jordan. He said, a great multitude follow him and all that. Verse 3 now. He said, the Pharisees also came up unto him, tempting him. Very important. This Bible is about details. Verse 3 says, the Pharisees came also unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? You need to understand this. So this wasn't a Bible seminar. This wasn't a Bible school. This wasn't a relationship, love it, a marriage seminar conference or a marriage conference. No. This was Jesus on his way somewhere, and the Pharisees wanting to tempt him. So this was a set-up kind of question. This wasn't an innocent, genuine question. And as a pastor, people ask me these kind of questions all the time. You know, trying to set you up, trying to, you know, con you out of something, trying to get you to say something that they can hold on to. So this was what was going on here. It was a tempting question. And besides that, the Pharisees and other religious sects were always in argument about how divorce, what grounds should people divorce for. So this was a temptation kind of thing. It wasn't a Bible teaching. Okay, so they asked him, tempting him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cost? Look at what they're saying. They're saying, if I'm just tired of the marriage, can I just say, hey, I'm tired? For every cost. If my wife wears purple, can I just say, you know, I don't like purple. I went to wear purple. I'm divorcing you. You know, can I divorce for any reason? That you want to cook, you know I don't eat goat meat, and you cook with goat meat. That was happening at the time. People were divorcing for, and it's just human nature. Human nature, that's how people are. So people want to just, when they think that they can't obey God, they find a way to try and justify their behavior. That was what's happening here. So they were trying to tempt him. So they say, can you divorce for any cause? And see the answer Jesus gave them. Verse 4, and he answered them and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? He said, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Look at this. Verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twined, that means they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Did you see the answer? They asked him, can we divorce? For which reasons are good to divorce? Who are not good to divorce? The answer I just gave them is that divorce is not even the plan. Don't even have the thinking of what can I get away with. Don't even have the mindset of what reason is good enough to divorce. If you are thinking in that way, you will find a reason. He answered them and said, look, when we started the plan, divorce was not even in the plan. Very important, all right? Because when we start dealing with the reasons for divorce, I don't want you to have the mentality to try and see if I qualify to divorce. If you're already thinking like that, then you have missed the point. That's not what the teaching on divorce is about, okay? So he told them, from the beginning, it's not so. Marriage is the covenant. That's the answer I gave them. The answer I gave them is marriage is the covenant. You should not even be thinking about divorce. So see what they answered. In verse 6, Okay, no, in verse 7. They said unto him, so why did Moses command us to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Remember, they differentiated the two things again. I told you that there are two things always in scripture. There's putting away and there's divorce. Now, many translations of the Bible will not give you like this. So it's usually King James that we're able to separate it. And if you look at it in the Greek and all that, you will see the difference. You know, but most translations, they interchange it and that's where problems come. But in King James, they separated putting away and writing of divorcement. There are two steps. One is separation. One is the proper divorcement. You can't divorce in one day. If you and your wife have a quarrel today, there's no way you get lawyer, get judge, get everybody today in this house and write all the divorcement. No, but you're going to first separate. In my own country, sometimes divorce takes up to 2 years. From separation to divorce takes up to 2 years. So there are two steps. Very important. So this is what confuses people. And I will tell you why the two steps are confusing. I'm coming. So they said unto him, so why did Moses say we should give a right of divorcement and also to put her away? See verse 8. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, allowed you, that's what the word suffered there, allowed you to put away your wives. He said, but from the beginning, it was not so. He said, from the beginning, it was not so. We did not create marriage with the mindset that you can divorce. That's not the plan. So don't have the divorce mindset. You know, I tell people, couples all the time, if you come into a marriage with the mindset that it's not working, I will leave, you will see a reason to leave. You must come with the mindset that this is for life. That's the mindset. And let divorce be a last resort after counseling, after many processes. Not just something you jump at. But this is what's causing problem. People are taking the liberty of divorce to just use it anyhow. And it happened in Bible times. It's just human nature. It's happening in our own times. All right? It's not just something, oh, my wife insulted me, I'm leaving. Or my husband insulted me, I'm leaving. You know, people ask me all the time, can I leave for any reason? People ask me the same thing. That, oh, I'm being abused emotionally. He didn't greet me for 3 days. It's affecting my mental health. I want to leave. That's not the concept of this divorce thing. It's not just jump out at any opportunity. Remember the vows you made. You said in sickness and in health. You said for better, for worse. Those vows are just trying to remind you that it's a covenant. Nobody pays attention to the vows. They say, oh, I'm ready to stay here for life. But now, slightest challenge, you want to jump out. That's not how it works. Okay. So he said, from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever is in, I'm reading verse 9 now. He said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. So he's repeating what he said in verse chapter 5. He said, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall and marry another, committed adultery. And whoso married her which is put away, doeth commit adultery. People now interpret this verse 9 to mean that once you divorce, if you remarry, it's adultery. That's not what the Bible said. So let's look at verse 9 closely again, guys. I say unto you that whosoever put away his wife, except it be for sexual immorality. So now, Jesus was now answering, this is where Jesus was now answering the first question they asked. That what purposes should we divorce for? Or what purposes should we separate for? Jesus was now answering. He first dealt with the fact, with the mindset of divorce is not our plan. Then he now went into answering the question. So you must understand the text, the context, the storyline. It's like a movie. You must understand it. You can't just pick one word out of context. When they asked him the question, he addressed the mindset first. Then he now answered the question. Verse 9 says, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication. They asked him, can we put her away for any cause, any reason? He said, not any reason. The only reason is for fornication. In fact, the term they used those days was uncleanliness. So they were saying, what if she's hygienically unclean? Hygienically, you know, her clothes are not clean. They said, that's not the uncleanness we mean. We're talking about sexually unclean, sexual immorality. Not any problem. Not just any. So he was addressing a conversation that was going on. It was a big argument. Can I divorce for any reason? It was a big deal. And he said, no, the only reason I permit you to, or Moses permitted you to divorce, really, it wasn't even God, Moses, is for adultery or sexual immorality. So he answered them, verse 9. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except if it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. So now, is remarrying adultery? No. Look at verse 9. It says, if you put away your wife, that means separation, then you go and marry. This means you are not divorced. You separate, you are not divorced yet, then you go and remarry. That is adultery. You are sleeping with somebody else, even though you are still in the marriage. Until you are properly divorced, you are not divorced. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So, what they're saying here is that you have something with your wife, you guys are separated, but you have not properly divorced. You're not given a bill of divorcement. then you want to go and marry another person, then that is adultery. Yes, you are still married. You are still legally married to somebody else. But when you have properly divorced, you are free to go and remarry. And the Bible also says that. If you look at where Scripture talked about this same thing Jesus quoted, they mentioned it clearly there that you can remarry. Jesus was not talking in abstract. He was quoting from Deuteronomy, where they started divorce. So I hope somebody is getting this. Jesus was not talking abstract. He was quoting literally what Moses told them in Deuteronomy 24. And in Deuteronomy 24, they are allowed to remarry. I'm going to read all that to you today. So I hope this makes sense. I hope this makes sense. So the Bible is clear. The Bible never contradicts itself. If somebody is properly divorced, they can remarry. All right? And there's a few instances God gives permission or consent to divorce. Now, of course, human beings in their nature, they go beyond those three and they add other ones. That's just human nature. There's nothing we can do. But once people are properly divorced, the Bible is clear that they are free to remarry. The only time the Bible calls it adultery is when they have done putting away. That means separation. When they are not divorced. They just did separation. Then they go and remarry. Then of course, you are still in one marriage. You are marrying another marriage. You have not divorced one. You just separated from her. Then you have gone to marry another one. Then it's adultery, yes. Yes, it's clearly that's even English. That's even law. Come on, you don't even need Bible for that. That's basically in any country. It's considered an offense. Except countries where, you know, polygamy is a crime. Or bigamy is a crime. Where you're supposed to marry only one spouse. You can't separate from one. You're not divorced yet. You can't marry another one. It's not even Bible. Common sense, even in traditional, you can't do that. You have to go and either, if it's traditional marriage, you have to return bride price first. You have to end this discussion with this woman before you carry another one. That's what Jesus was saying. Because those days, who were divorcing people, I mean, who were putting away people that are separating from their wives without properly divorcing this woman? You go and marry another woman. So this woman is stuck. She can't remarry because she's still tied to this woman. And the man has married another person. That's what was going on then. So like I said, you must always get the context. Jesus never said, if a divorced person marries, they commit adultery. He never said that. It's not here anywhere. He was quoting Deuteronomy 24, and we're going to read that in a bit. Okay, so what are the instances where people are permitted to divorce? There are three A's. They are all A's, that are A's, and the three, scripturally. All right? Human beings in our nature, of course, we've added a few more. But authentically, scripture-wise, there are three reasons why the Bible gives permission for people to divorce. So number one is adultery. All right? That's any sexual immorality. Any sexual immorality. God says this person is permitted to be separated and later divorced because of sexual immorality. So let's look at Deuteronomy 24. He said, when a man, I'm reading from verse 1, when a man had taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she found no favor in his eyes because he had found some uncleanness in her. So this was the problem. You know, they mentioned uncleanness here. It wasn't specific. But this uncleanness is clearly talking about sexual immorality. This is what they're asking Jesus. That uncleanness, is it that she didn't bath? She didn't wash her clothes? Jesus said, no, it's not all those kind of uncleanness. We're talking about sexual uncleanness. So they said, when a man had taken a wife and married her, and it came to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he had found some uncleanness in her. Look at this now. Said, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it into her hand and send her out of his house. Okay, so that's divorce. He said, and when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. See, in the Bible, never said if you divorce, you can't remarry. The Bible has clearly said here that when people are divorced, they can go and remarry. Jesus wasn't contradicting Deuteronomy 24. He was just explaining Deuteronomy 24. He wasn't contradicting it. He was quoting from it. The only thing he said differently in Matthew is that if you put away, which is separation, you are not yet free to go and remarry. You are separated. So even the law of developed countries have that. You can't go and remarry. You are in separation. You are in court. Divorce court. You've not properly been divorced and you want to do wedding in the same court. Court wedding, same court. You'll be arrested that day in any developed country. You know, it's bigamy. It's wrong. Do you understand, guys? So it's not a complicated issue. Jesus is not contradicting to Deuteronomy 24. He's actually talking about Deuteronomy 24. The only difference was that he made them know that if you are in the process, meaning that you have just put away this woman, you have not divorced her, you can't go and carry on that woman. And she is not free to go and carry on that man. In fact, the Greek words for putting away in that Matthew 19, like I told you, there are two different things. The Greek word for putting away and the word for divorcement are two different words. Now, the Greek word for putting away is apeleo. All right? It's apeleo. It's Greek. It's apeleo. It just means sending away. It means sending away. It's apeleo. Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not Greek, all right? But it's apeleo. That's how it is pronounced or spelled, all right? I think it's A-P-E-L-E-O or something like that, apeleo. So it means sending away. In fact, it appears in other parts of the Bible. It's the same word used when Jesus when they wanted to feed 5,000 and the disciples said, send them away to go and find food. It's the same apeleo. So it's a common word. It just means sending somebody away. So we're not divorced. It's like when a man and a woman quarrels in some countries and say, oh, somebody should go and sleep outside. Nobody should sleep in the house that night. That's not divorce. For you to say we fought this night and they said the man should sleep outside, the woman sleep outside, and she goes to marry from there. That's adultery. That's what they were quoting. We have not divorced. We just separated. Separation can be for a night, a week, a month, sometimes even for a year, but we are not yet divorced. So apeleo means sending away. It's not the same as divorce. Now the word for divorce in that same Matthew 19 in the Greek is apesteto. Alright? Apesteto. Like I said, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Apesteto. So that one is now properly divorced. That's a legal divorce where a written bill of divorcement has been given. Alright? So let's go back to Matthew, Deuteronomy 24. It says in verse 2, and if she's departed out of his house after she has been properly divorced, says she may go and be another man's wife. Clearly. So the man can marry, she too can remarry. There's nothing wrong in remarrying after divorce. Okay? So, number one reason you can divorce is adultery. Second reason you can divorce is abuse. Abuse. So, number one, adultery. There are three A's. Number one, adultery. I've read that scripture for you. Second one is abuse. Abuse. So, Exodus chapter 21. Let's read that. Exodus chapter 21. I'm going to read Exodus 21 from verse 9 to verse 11. Exodus 29 from verse 9 to 11. So, let's read it. It said, and if he had betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughter. So, you have betrothed a woman for your son. All right? You now treat that woman as one of your daughters. That's what they're saying. If he, now the son, take him another wife, which that's not the plan, but if that does happen, he said her food, that's the first wife's food, her raiment and her duty of marriage, which is sexual intercourse, shall not be diminished. All right? It shall not be diminished. He said, and if he do these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. That means if he's not able to, you know, continue to walk with her in the proper way of taking care of her, then she's free to leave without any money. Now, this scenario was talking more about, when people take slaves and things, but it still applies. Basically, they're saying, look, you can't keep a woman and not be taking care of her. If you're not taking care of her, that's tantamount to abuse. And if she's being abused, you can leave. So, it covers. I don't know if you understand. It's a matter of interpretation. But they're just saying, look, if it has become unbearable for that person to live in that place, they are free to leave. All right. So I believe this covers physical abuse. This one here is talking about basically abuse of sustenance, of survival, her food, her clothing, her other needs. If her needs are not being met, at this point she can consider to leave free. Okay. So that's another reason to consider divorce, abuse. Now, this also goes to physical abuse. All right. If somebody's life is in danger, the covenant of life is superior to the covenant of marriage. Even though marriage is a covenant, but there's a covenant of life that is superior to the covenant of marriage. You need to first be alive to honor the covenant of marriage. The marriage, they say, till death do us part. So once death has entered, the covenant of marriage is now null and void. I don't know if you understand this. Once death has entered the matter, the covenant of marriage is null and void. So if you are already trying to kill the person and their life is in danger, you have already nulled and voided the covenant of marriage. So it doesn't mean the person must always leave, but it means they can leave if they want. Even in all these cases, there are people that have fought through it and stayed. So it doesn't mean that the slightest chance of or instance of adultery, you leave your marriage. That's not what the Bible is saying. But they're saying, look, if these things persist and you can't handle it, this you have a right to. But as a Christian, God wants you to walk in love and in forgiveness and work things out. So abuse. If you're threatening somebody's life, they have to leave. They have to leave. Of course, they can start from separation, see if they can be corrected, see if they can be spoken to, counseled, corrected, and move back in. But if this beating continues, this hitting continues, it's better they separate and divorce. Because we've seen too many people die because your husband or wife was beating the other person. We've seen too many of those things. All right? So God will not want you to die. The covenant of life comes for the covenant of marriage. So let's not force people to stay in abusive homes where their lives are under threat. We've made, just said, oh, you know, because many pastors are not, you know, knowledgeable about these things. Just say, the Bible says you can never divorce. See, the Bible didn't say you can never divorce. The Bible never said that. It just said it's not a great idea. It's not a great option. But it doesn't mean you can never take that option. So please, let's understand it. All right? When the Bible gives instructions, it's based on certain context. Like, for instance, when the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, it's on the context that I'm not being killed. It's not that if I'm at war and you say that's not, you know, the covenant of life comes above covenant of this kind of things, of obeying scripture. If you're trying to kill me, thou shalt kill. I will kill you. There's no two ways. Okay, you are in my house. Somebody enters my house and shoots, starts shooting my children. And you say, the Bible says that's right. I don't kill him first, then we'll go read the Bible after. I kill him, then we start where he says so in scripture. Do you understand? So the covenant of life is always superior to the covenant of marriage and of, in fact, the way it works. The natural must always come before the spiritual. Now, this doesn't mean the spiritual is inferior. Just is the order of life. If you're not in this world, you can't even practice Bible. You must be born into this world. That's why we call it being born again. You must be born first, one, before you are born again. You can't talk to somebody about being born again if they have not been born the first time. Do you understand? John 3:3 is clear about that. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Meaning, you must first be born of the flesh before we can talk to you about being born of the spirit. All right, he said, that which is born of the water and the word. What do they mean by that? The water is talking about water and the spirit, rather. What do they mean by that? They mean the water is the natural birth. When a woman wants to give birth, the thing that happens is that her water breaks. So that's what they mean by being born of the water. Then you now be born of the spirit. So the natural must come first. So if they say thou shalt not kill, that's on the premise that my life is not under threat. If my life is under threat, thou shalt kill very much and very well. And we will share testimony. Now, ladies and gentlemen, thank God with you. Some robbers in my house, I killed all of them. You will share testimony. And it's a great thing. Or your policeman, for instance, and robbers are robbing somewhere, and you they were shooting at you, and you managed to shoot them and kill them first. That's a testimony. Everybody's going to clap for you. Everybody, even the pastor, bishop, everybody will clap for you that the Lord saved your life. Nobody's going to tell you that, oh, you should have kept your bullet. I mean, if not for guns, or for police people, for instance, or soldiers, army, terrorists will take over this world. Armed robbers will take over this world. So we need them to kill. We pray for them to go and kill in peace. Go and kill by the grace of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you say thou shalt not kill or don't divorce, it's on the premise that you are not under threat. If you're under threat, your life is under danger, you're about to be killed, my sister, first move out. Or brother, if you are the one being attacked, you know. Most men don't talk about that because men don't know how to go and tell other men that my wife nearly came yesterday, they beat me. Men don't discuss this, but you know. So abuse. You must separate first, and let's look for a solution. And if the beating continues and all that, then you can divorce on the basis of abuse. Okay. Then the third one is abandonment. All right. It's abandonment. So you see this in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15. All right, where Paul says, if the unbelieving wants to depart, let them depart. All right. That the believer is not bound in such cases. If somebody wants to leave you, there's nothing you can do. And as a counselor, I can't tell you the amount of times I've heard cases of a man, sometimes a woman, but most times men, just carry their bag, carry their passport, disappear. The wife doesn't even know where he went to. He just disappeared. He didn't even carry all his load. Just a passport and shoe or something, or handbag, and go. And won't see him for 3 years, sometimes 4 years. They won't hear from him. I can't tell you. It sounds simple, but trust me, it's a very regular occurrence. So in such cases where the person has abandoned and you've not found him for 2 years, 3 years, say you're not bound. The person has abandoned the family. Even legally, they consider that you are already divorced. So you are free to go at those points. So those are three instances listed in scripture where people can divorce. I am not sure it's limited to those three. There might be instances that will come up. You need to get counsel, get somebody to look at scripture with you, and also apply common sense. All right? And see, marriage is important. It's a powerful principle. It's a powerful thing God set up. But marriage was meant to serve us. It's not us to serve marriage. So don't die inside the marriage because you are being abused. All right? Marriage is meant to serve us. It's not us meant to serve marriage. So very, very important. You must understand it. So because people misunderstand the principles of God. God will never put you in bondage. That's one thing you must realize. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. He never puts you in bondage. For instance, God wants everybody to belong to a church. But if you belong to a church where you are being abused, you have to leave that church. So the covenant of life, again, will come above dying inside the church. You leave that church, you will find another church. But to say, oh, they say we must go to church. Now, in the church, they are flogging people. I've seen churches where they flog them physically. But there's one church where they burnt people. So people suspend their mind sometimes because of spiritual things. And it doesn't work like that. The Bible doesn't say you remove your mind. It says you renew your mind. It doesn't say remove your mind. It says renew your mind. There are two different things. All right. So let's practice scripture with sense. All right. The Bible is sound on its own. Never contradicts. You must see life. You must see liberty. You must see all those things in scripture. There's no bondage in scripture. God never puts us in bondage in scripture. So I hope that has explained it. If you want to remarry, what are three things you need to do? If you want to remarry quickly, three things. Number one, make sure your person you're marrying is in the Lord. All right? This is in the Bible. Even though when Paul was talking to widows, but it applies to anybody remarrying. He said, if you must remarry, make sure you marry in the Lord. So number one, make sure your person is in Christ. If you want to remarry. Number two, make sure you get proper counseling. You're a divorcee or you want to marry a divorcee, there must be, number one, you must sure they are born again if you're a believer. Number two, there must be proper counseling. Don't just jump into it. Once bitten, twice shy. You can't just jump into that thing. All right? This person is a divorcee, divorced person. There might be character flaws. There might be things that caused the first divorce. I'm not judging them, but it's just practical. Make sure you get proper counseling. Don't just enter based on the word of mouth. No, let it be a neutral person, a trained counselor. You know, great authority figures involved to make sure you're not entering a problem. Then number three, do some investigation. If you want to marry a divorcee, please do some investigation. Find out if they were the ones that caused the problem. But like they say in local palette, that the cane that they used to flog first wife is still in the house waiting for the second wife. So you have to be sure that this guy is not somebody to be wealth. Or this woman is not somebody that has some character flaws that caused the first or second divorce. So that will be sure they're not going to repeat the patterns. You'll be amazed how many people have been divorced 6, 7, 8 times. Because they have the same character flaws. They think it's about the partner they change. Not realizing that it's their own behavior that is causing the problem. So let's watch those things and let's deal with it and let's see how it works. All right, so these are three advice. And I'll take a few questions and I hope this was a blessing. All right, don't forget, before I take questions, don't forget you can subscribe to this channel. Send us your questions, you know, send us comments, engage the post, share, comment, and subscribe. Very important. It helps us know how many people are really getting blessed. And subscribe to our other channels, LDM with PK, Wholesome Sexuality, Mildred Kingsford Konko, and my wife's page. Yes, divorce today applies to both male and female. Even though when divorce was started, it was created to protect women. That was the concept. Again, like I said, this is why you need to get the context. When divorce was originally created, it was because men were just messing with women. They would marry a woman for a few years, separate from her, marry another one. And these women were all left hanging. So God had to free these women and say, you know what? Properly divorce the woman so that she can go and remarry. The men were not finding it hard to remarry. You know, if you know how life works, you know that even men are 60 or 70 are still marrying young girls. So on the men's side, there's always an advantage, but women's side is not so advantageous. So they were trapping those women, and God has said, you know what, you need to set these women free. Divorce them, let them be free to go and remarry. So, but today, yes, a woman can even divorce, a man can divorce, anybody can divorce. But like we said, the idea is not just to find the excuse to divorce. Jesus addressed the mentality first. But now, in practical terms, if you have no choice, you should consider the idea. Again, you don't have a choice. If, like I mentioned, abandonment, if the person wants to leave, say the unbelieving wants to leave, even if he's not unbelieving in Christ, unbelieving in the marriage is an unbeliever. If he wants to leave, there's nothing, you don't have a choice. You can't force somebody to stay with you. Now, of course, you can pray, you can get counsel, you can fight for the marriage, I get that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's up to them to decide to stay. And there are many people in these sticky situations where one person wants to leave, the other person wants to stay. And the reason why the person wants to leave is even a useless reason. But you see, you can't force people. You can pray, you can fight for it, you can believe God that they will change, you know. You can give it time, you know. So let them know you're not ready to divorce. But at the end of the day, you know, you're limited to whatever the person wants to do, yeah. In such a case, I advise you get counseling so that we get more details of what the case is and what you really want. You know, sometimes people ask questions, they need to be sure of what they want, all right, what you want out of this. The scenario is there, the guy has left with the kids, relocated. Does he want you to come? Is there a reason why you don't want to go? You know, there are many factors that I can't give you a blanket answer, but get counseling in that case so that we can get into the details. Yes, definitely, that's abandonment. So, but like I said, divorce is not where we start from. Counseling, deal with it. Can we correct it? Can we talk to both parties? You know, that's the right thing to do. Fight for it first. But if you've done all you can do and the person still wants to go, it's abandonment, so you can't do anything. Okay. Is it right? Yes, we've answered that throughout the teaching. Just because somebody is divorced doesn't mean they can't remarry. They can. But we advise you on what to do. You need to be sure there's counseling. You need to be sure they're saved. You need to be sure what the story is like. All right? Do your best. Don't just listen to what they say, because everybody will say, oh, it wasn't my fault. My wife was wicked. My husband was wicked. Try and see if you know people, you know, that know them, or somebody that knows somebody. And if you're a divorcee here, please make sure you are under authority. Let the people that can vouch for you. Because I don't think I should just take your word for it that you were a good person, but your husband or wife was terrible. I've not seen anybody that divorced and said, I was the reason why we divorced, I'm the bad person. Really. People always say it's my spouse that was bad. So please make sure you're under authority, where somebody of authority, a reputable person, can speak over you and say, or speak for you and say, oh, I've known them for 2 years. I was involved even in the case. This person still is good to remarried. All right, so I would advise you do that. But ordinarily, it's okay. All right, so these are a few questions, but please send us your questions. Keep in touch with us. We would like to keep in touch with you. Don't forget, details of how you can get our materials are on the screen. Subscribe to our channels and visit our website. And if you are interested in being a relationship coach or a marriage counselor, we also do trainings. So we encourage you to visit our website, register, and be a certified counselor and marriage coach. All right, God bless you. So see you in the next video.